comic and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Hello, 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 and welcome back here to Intravenous. I'm Vivian, and this is Pranjali, also here in the studio for today's show. I'm so excited for this episode because we will talk about very interesting things today. We will play some fun music and we'll hear an interview our new intern Anna did. So I'm very, very excited for that. How are you doing, Pranjali?
I am doing good. I don't know. It's a Wednesday morning at 10. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all right. Not too bad, I would say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you for having me. It's so fun to like co-host with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we will have a big chat today again because we both love to talk. And this will be amazing because our topic today will be women in sports, especially in soccer. So we will hear an interview with the assistant coach from the women's soccer team here at SFU, which will be very interesting. And we will talk about, or Anna will talk with her a lot about the problems in women's soccer. And yeah, we'll hear some interesting insights into like the women's soccer world, and I'm very excited for that. And how was your long weekend before we jump right into the topic? I first have to ask that.
I guess it was I was applying to some internship positions, so it was a lot of reading, editing, and mm-hmm. last minute changes to ideas. And I like started working on this application in December. Mm-hmm. And like I started building on my resume and like my cover letter, and this application actually had like 5 parts. So were like different letters you had to write, like show your creative skills, show your initiative and stuff like that. So it was a long process, and that's why like I started in December. But it's a thing with me, like even though I start things earlier, I still like submitted just within the deadline. Mm-hmm. So though I gave myself a lot of time, like 3 mm-hmm. months to work on this, but like I submitted it on like 11:59 of the date. Was it?
Wow.
Oh so if you know me, you know that I do this because like I have to get it right. Like,
but you were on time. I mean,
yeah, 11:59 is good, you know?
And my weekend was crazy. So it's like total so different to yours because I went on a little trip with my host family because I'm from Germany and currently staying at a host family. And we went to a cabin in like, I don't know where it was, Egan Lake somewhere, like 5 hours away from here. So we started Saturday morning and then drove there, and it was a crazy weekend, and there was like, there was no data at all. I was cut off. It was hard.
Oh my God. It was that sounds scary, you know?
Yeah, and then we had like a snowstorm on Sunday and we couldn't drive back, so we had to wait at the cabin. We had no electricity because there was like a tree fell on the electricity net, so we had no lights, no water, nothing. It was like a survival camp. It was crazy.
But I think that's like, that's how memories are made.
Yeah, true. Like, it was a total like memorable weekend. And on Monday we had like shovel our way out, and we also like we did so much fun stuff. So on Sunday I went skiing, but it was like powder snow, and I fell so many times. I can't handle powder snow. I'm really bad at skiing in powder snow, but it was so much fun. And also like I did some stuff I wouldn't normally do, so like build a snowman with like my host siblings, and it was fun. So I wouldn't do that normally, but yeah, here I am, and I did it, and I'm very glad that I went with my host parents. So yeah,
you really touched me with that making of the snowman, because like there's a thing that is associated with making a snowman. Because, like, I was planning to make it in December, like, you know, when the snowstorm came and it was, like, snow all over. So I was like, yeah, there we go. I'll have a snowman on Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
But I fell ill. I was also supposed to, like, fly to New New York for the New Year's Eve and stuff.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Because like some of my family lives there and wow. I thought it was like a good family reunion, yeah. You know, at the Times Squares and whatnot.
Wow, yeah.
But like the snowstorm came in, no, I couldn't fly.
No.
But I also fell ill, so I couldn't make the snowman. So
yeah,
it was not that fun.
Oh no.
But apart from that, on the weekend, like I was going through, just the application. I guess that's my boring weekends how they go. Yeah,
I mean, if you,
lots of music,
yeah,
and
that's good.
Working.
Yeah, I mean, you get like some stuff done, so you can use your time also like to get stuff done and then have some free time afterwards. I mean, we have reading break right now, and so many people are off campus, but we're here, and I'm glad because this show will be very interesting. And before we're going to start right into our topic, and we will like share some research of us, I want to play you one song I wanted to play for such a long time, actually, on Intravenous, because Robin asked me once. So normally Robin hosts Intravenous, but she isn't here today. And yeah, I wanted to play this song for such a long time because she asked me to like look for some songs that I could play on Intravenous. And I found this song, and I just found it in my notebook. So I wanted to play. And I think I actually wrote it down in like probably December. And now I actually can play it, so I'm glad, and I actually like the song really much. So we will start right into the song, and then afterwards we will introduce our topic in the interview.
Let's go. Looking
Let's
forward
go.
To it.
Yes. Here is Tanika Charles with Soul.
Drinking that
Gone by Tanika Charles. Did you like the song, Rangeli?
This is my first time hearing this, yeah. And I'm gonna say that it's really good. I mm-hmm. used to like listen only to specific kind of music, mm-hmm. and I think I told you last time.
Oh yeah.
But it's like 75% Taylor Swift, 5% Harry Styles, then it's Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, mm-hmm. and all those people. But there's a spot also for new songs, so mm-hmm. I feel like this is really interesting to hear.
That's why I love working at the radio, because you can you will listen to so many songs each day, and it's great because I added, since I came here, I added so many songs to my playlist, and it's great. So, cool. If you're also interested in volunteering and doing the same we are doing right now, you should definitely come and check out the station and check out our library, because we have a huge library, a huge music library with over 85,000. Yeah, I was like just thinking 90,000, around 90,000 items. So CDs, cassette and vinyls, and it's so great. So if you're interested in helping out at the music department, you should definitely check out our station. We are located here at the SFU campus at the sub building, very first floor. And yeah, check out our station. That's what I all can say. And yeah, you can do so much stuff, like interviews and stuff. And we will go to hear and interview one of our new interns, Anna, did yesterday, actually. So it's with the assistant women's soccer coach, Anna Piccarelli. And she is a very interesting person, because actually I found out after the interview that she played on the Italian national team, and that she also played at the Champions League and played for many Italian teams and also the Euro Cup. So she is a very experienced soccer player, and now she is the assistant coach here for the SFU soccer team for the women. And I'm very excited to play the interview, because Anna talked about the issues that are going on right now in the soccer, and like what goes wrong, what changed over the years, because she played for such a long time. She's now the assistant coach, so she has a lot of experience in the field of soccer, and she told us about the differences, and we're going to jump right into the interview, and we will discuss afterwards what we think about it, and I'm very excited to play it for you right now. So this is the interview Anna, our new intern Anna from Austria, did with the women's assistant coach Anna Piccarelli. So please enjoy the interview now, and you will hear us afterwards.
So I'd say let's start with the interview. Thank you for coming today.
Yeah, no problem.
Very nice. Let's just start with giving us a little description about yourself. So what do you do on campus, and who are you?
My name is Anna Piccarelli. I'm the women's soccer assistant coach. I've been here since 2014, so quite a long time here at SFU.
Yeah. Why did you choose to come to SFU to train the women's soccer team?
Well, my role is a little bit different in terms of coming here specifically for that. Usually when you're a head coach, like my boss Annie, when she applied for the role, it was like, you know, she upped and moved her life to come here. I was just really fortunate that my life got moved here aside from this job. And then when she got the job, I was able to apply, and luckily, she found that I was fitting for it, so then I've made my way here.
Perfect. That sounds great. You've played in Italy for the national team, so you have a bit of experience there, what it was like for you to play. And are there any differences between women's soccer in Europe and Canada and in the United States?
Well, I think first it's important to note that when I played with the national team, this was a long time ago, so my last match with them was in 2012. That was way before the movement in Europe for women's soccer to really explode and get recognition, and recognition that it deserved. So when I was playing, we weren't even viewed as professional athletes. We were poorly funded. And we would travel through the airports of Italy and be questioned about what team we even were. And then it would go as far as to, you play soccer, but the size of the field must be different, or the ball must be lighter, or the goals are smaller, or you play less time. Like, back then, you know, this was just the early, about 2007 to 2010, and people were asking questions like that. Could women's soccer be the same as men's? Like, what a weird idea. So, and that varied from every country that we traveled to play in. You know, if we went to Australia to play, people knew who the Australian women's national team was. If we went to a country like Armenia, nobody knew what was going on. Nobody had any idea there was even a match being played. And then you show up in Marseille, France, and the stadium is jam-packed. So it really just depended which country had moved forward in progressing the sport and how it was viewed. And I grew up in LA, so for me, the ability to play was always there, from grassroots to high school to university. And I think in terms of growing up in the States, it's possible to play at every single level. And it's you have exposure, you have opportunity. Whereas in Europe, it was dependent on the country that you lived in. And then in Canada, I've just learned what I've seen over the last 8 years here. And there's ample opportunity from youth to high school to university to play. But the piece that Canada is lacking is that professional league that they're hoping to create, but it's just not quite there yet in terms of, in respects to the States. However, the national team in Canada has, I would say, a greater imprint on the youth in Canada versus in Europe. Europe is just hitting that point now, but the women's national team here has had a good standing in the community.
Okay, interesting. So what I've noticed is that the last year there were Euros in Europe, and I knew what was going on because I'm from Austria, so I was supporting the national team. It was like everyone I knew was watching, was supporting them, which I think is great, very great. And I wonder if there has been the same impact the Euros had in Europe, I think, at least for me, in Canada as well, with things like, do Canadians know about what's going on with Euros and everything? Do they have something like that? What was it like the past year, especially?
I think in the women's side, for international tournaments like the Euros, I don't think too many Canadians are aware of the female Euros going on, unless there is somebody like you who has, you know, they've come here from another country where they still support. Like, for me, I was obviously watching and following Italy throughout the Euros because I played for them. Like, that was my national team. So that was a big deal. And I think in Canada, it's the Olympics when you follow the women's national team. That is a huge stage. That is a lot of exposure for them. And you get men's and women's support when they do have the Olympics, because Canada has medaled in multiple Olympics. That's huge. Like, there's not many countries that can say that. And then at the same time, their other opportunity is the World Cup. And I think this summer there will be quite the following for the women's national team, because especially sadly following off the men's World Cup that just happened, the awareness is there. And so now going into this World Cup in the summer for the women, there should be quite a bit of national support.
I hope so. It would be great. I'm very looking forward to watching it as well, so it will be nice. You talked about your experience when you were playing for the Italian national team, which was a bit ago, few years ago. What changes did you notice as the time goes by? What happened? What did change?
Well, I think in every national team's federation, there is the pioneers for the women's side. On the men's side, this doesn't apply because they've always been noteworthy. It's not something that they've struggled against. So in every country, there's always the pioneers for the women's national team who create a stake and try to create a following and start the buzz for the rest of the country to support them. So when I played for Italy, that spark was just happening. Like, we weren't a super successful country yet. The support on the national side wasn't there, but we had some great accomplishments. We, you know, made it to the quarterfinals of the Euro Cup in 2009, which was a huge deal, to lose to the soon-to-be winners, which was Germany. And, you know, we had moments where, you know, we'd get written up in the newspaper all of a sudden. You know, it wouldn't be more than a paragraph, but, you know, we got news in there. And funny enough, it was more of newsworthy for silly things that happened. So, like, I got proposed to when we played at the Euro Cup. That was a bigger paragraph in the newspaper than it was for our game against Germany. And it's like, that's what they chose to highlight back then. But it still got people talking about it. You know, it put women's soccer kind of, like, in their minds. And then once I finished playing, they decided to make changes on the club side. So now they decided to switch it from being semi-professional, pushing it to being professional, getting the support of the federation. And so all of that changed, and it started progressing upward. And even though on the surface it maybe looked like a lot was changing, the comforts of being a professional soccer player in Italy weren't quite there yet, even though it looked like it on paper. I know a lot of the players were still struggling to make ends meet financially and make it their primary income. You know, they were still getting jobs on the side to make things work, unless you were the 20 players or so that were on the national team. Then maybe it was your sole job. Your income was from football. But now, all of those girls, plus girls that are playing on the club sides only that aren't even in the national team pool, can finally make a living off of it. And it's not even across the board. It's still an uphill battle for them. But compared to when I was there, when we were just trying to create the spark, maybe my group was just the beginning of the pioneers. And the handful of players that I played with that are still in the national team are the ones that have lived through it all, from being disregarded to now being a national influence on the sport. So I think it's changed dramatically.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Interesting insights as well. It's great to have you here as someone who has played in the national team. It's really amazing. You've talked about the income. It's still a big thing, especially regarding men's and women's income in soccer. How do you feel about that women are not being paid what they should be paid in soccer and men are?
Yeah. I think whenever it's comes down to a discussion of wage, if you put it on a global scale, you know, even outside of sport, women being paid the same as men for a job that they're doing the same amount as has just changed and still hasn't changed entirely. So for things outside of athletics, there's not many industries where you see parity, men to women, in terms of salaries. And so I think right now, it's starting to trickle down into sport, and that's important. It's you can't deny that they're putting in the same amount of effort day in and day out to do what they do, and there should be parity. And I think it's going to follow the same process that it took just in any other job industry. You know, it took so many years of fighting for equality and being valued the same way that, you know, the world has now tackled maybe the job force, and now it's like, okay, we're going to move on to the next tier, which is athletics. And it's going to take some time. I still feel like, again, it's always moving upward and progressing in the right direction, but it's kind of following the nature of just salary equality in general. So I think we're lucky because there's been countries who have successfully already done it. So they've set, you know, a standard to follow and maybe a formula to help you reach what you want to get to. And I think it's just going to take the Canadian Association, the people that are in those higher up positions, to say, okay, let's find which one works for us. Because they do have all of these opportunities to go and see what France did, see what Germany did, see what the U.S. did. I mean, that's just the neighbor south. There's many ways to find a solution to it. It just is going to take somebody bothering to look for the solution.
Do you think, personally, that men and women's football will ever be seen as equal? Because some people want this to be happening. Do you personally think this is going to be something that's going to happen in the future?
I think so. I think there is a future where it will be seen as equal. Will I be the one to see it? I don't know. I mean, that would be great if it happened in my lifetime. But there's not many sports where the equality is there. I mean, if you look at most team sports, I don't think I can come up the top of my head where the women's and the men's teams are treated equally or paid equally or viewed as full equals. Basketball, football, volleyball. And when I say football, I mean soccer, sorry, not American football or CFL. So I think there's very few sports where women are paid as much as men are. And I mean, those are a lot of individual sports like tennis, or golf, where those athletes are bringing in close to equivalent amounts of the men's side. But the team sports, are there's still something to work towards and, you know, continue to create the same hype. I think that's the big thing. There's been hype for so many years, so many centuries for the men's side, but the women's is brand new. It's maybe the last 50 years, you know, the national team. And in terms of what it's done and where it's competed, it's still quite young if you look at it that way. But I think the hope is there for sure.
And how interesting is it for you, or exciting is it for you personally, to see the whole progress get along this well? Especially with, I think women's football has, or women's soccer, whatever you want to say, has changed so much over the years. And I see a progress. I definitely see one. Yeah. How excited are you to see this? Because you've been there from the very beginning, from a very young age.
I mean, I'll be honest, it's I'm a little bit torn. It's exciting because, you know, I'm coaching players that are aspiring to play for the national teams, that are aspiring to be professional soccer players, and that part of it's really exciting. But then there's the other part of me it's always going to be just a tiny bit sad that during my career it never happened. But I think the enthusiasm that the upcoming generations have for it, and for it to be something more than what it is, that is really exciting. So I think to be in the role that I am and to see players develop and hopefully reach their goals of playing for a national team or playing in a World Cup, or, you know, if they have ancestry in other countries and they go and play for, you know, we have a girl who's from Portugal. I'm sure that when she was a little girl, she was thinking, oh, I could do Canada or Portugal. You know, it's really cool for them to see these things and feel as though they're tangible. And I think when I was younger, the only team I could ever imagine was the U.S. national team was to play for and to feel proud of, because it was the only one you knew about. It was the only one that had made headlines. But then obviously being of Italian descent and the pool for the U.S. being just so giant, it's like, you know, 5 times the size of most countries in terms of a talent pool. And my dad encouraged me to try to go play for the Italian national team. He's like, you have that option if you want. And then that worked out for me. And I think it was amazing to open my eyes to other countries that maybe don't have the advantages of the U.S. and the opportunity there for women. So I know I went a bit off tangent with that one, but it's kind of where I'm at. So, and I think girls now, they see multiple pathways for what they can do with their lives after they're done playing at university. So that's really cool.
It's great. Great to have those experiences as well. As a coach, it must be nice to see the girls develop and see what they're doing in the future. Must be a great job.
It is. We have our first player going to play professionally. She's playing in France right now. Her family is Portuguese, so she was able to get a European passport and go over there and play and follow her dream of becoming a professional soccer player. And I hope she's not the first and the last. I feel like we have other girls that have equal aspirations. And yeah, it's an exciting future ahead.
Great. So thank you very much for answering the questions.
You're welcome.
Is there anything you want to add?
No, I think what the future holds for women in the world of football, again, soccer, apologies for that, is exciting. And I hope that people don't make it into a competition. It's not men versus women. It's them together, and to make sure that, you know, it's equal opportunity for everyone at the end of the day.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Anna, you were very true. We should work together, not against each other. And thank you also, Anna from Austria, because we have two Annas there, for doing this interview with Anna Picorelli, the assistant coach of the women's soccer team. And that was a very interesting interview. And I really liked what she said about, like, that we should work together and not against each other. And that she's hoping for the future that there will be an equality and equal payment and equal treatment, because we still talking about that issue, and I said it to you earlier, it's like, why do we even talk about this topic? Because I mean, it's important that we should talk about it, but it's